And in the course of 1923, simply let the printing presses run, arguing that they could not pay reparations, that this was impossible. And their solution, in 1923 at least, seemed to be to destroy the mark. To give you some indication of what we're talking about, we're not talking about inflation. We're talking about hyperinflation in 1923. In 1914, a dollar was worth would bring you 5 Reichsmarks. At the conclusion of the war in 1919, a dollar would bring you 14 Reichsmarks. In 1922, with the government self-consciously pursuing a policy of inflation, a dollar would bring you 191 Reichsmarks. But once the French invasion of the Ruhr began and the policy of passive resistance paid for by the government was in place, the mark, simply the value of the mark, plummeted. In January, a dollar was worth 17,972 Reichsmarks, January 23. By August, it was worth 110,000 Reichsmarks. In October, $1 would bring you 25,260,208 marks. And in November of 1923, when the inflation was finally halted, $1 was worth 4,200,000,000,000 Reichsmarks. People were paid 3 times a day. When you arrived in the morning, you were paid. You instantly went and bought your lunch, because if you waited until noon, the money you'd been paid at the opening time of the factory would be worth nothing. You were paid again at noon, went out and purchased your evening meal for the same reason, paid again at the end of the day, and then the process would begin the next day. The government attempted to rule by emergency decree, trying to bring, finally, in October and November, the situation under control. But in October, a communist uprising would take place in Hamburg, and in November of 1923, Adolf Hitler would make his appearance on the national scene in Germany, attempting to overthrow the Bavarian government in what was called the Beer Hall Putsch. Foreign intervention in the form of the Dawes Plan would end the economic and political crisis in late November 1923 and prepare the way for the stabilization of both the economy and the Weimar state. Between 1924 and 1929, buoyed by massive foreign investment, mostly American, the mark was stabilized. The government undertook a draconian policy of stabilization, cutting off credit, slashing the budget, raising taxes, doing all sorts of things to balance bring the budget back into line. And the elections of 1924 in Germany resulted in the election of a Reichstag, the parliament, that would remain in office for almost 4 years and would pursue a moderate policy in both foreign and domestic affairs. For a brief period, from 1924 to 1928, the period that the Germans refer to as the Golden Twenties, it looked as if democracy might actually take root in Germany, that it had survived this extraordinary post-war chaos and was on the road to establishing itself as a stable democratic regime. In elections in 1928, the radical parties, the communists on the left and the National Socialists, the Nazis on the right, were roundly defeated, and the Republic seemed at last on solid ground. But trouble was lurking just beneath the surface. Much of that German prosperity, the economic recovery of the mid-20s, was based on the presence of foreign capital, on this influx of short-term American loans. The German foreign minister, who had presided over this period in which Germany had joined the League of Nations, had signed international agreements, returning Germany to the mainstream of the international community. This foreign minister in 1929 made the prophetic observation that Germany was living on a volcano, that if anything happened and the Americans were to withdraw their short-term loans, the German economy would be in peril and the Republic endangered. Indeed, in the fall of 1929, the Wall Street crash in New York would have an immediate impact on Germany. It led to the greatly feared exodus of American capital and the German economy virtually collapsed. The coalition government that had been elected in 1928 would collapse. Attempts to halt the depression by a recourse to the orthodox policies of balancing the budget, reducing government expenditures, reducing costs and reducing wages, cutting and reducing government obligations, social obligations, such as one saw in Great Britain, proved to be tremendously unpopular and also ineffective. These policies introduced by emergency decrees did not lead to a rebound of the German economy, which continued its downward spiral from 1929 into 1930 to 1931 and into 1932. But they did lead to the radicalization and polarization of German politics. It was in this situation that Adolf Hitler and the National Socialist German Workers' Party, a party which in 1928 had received less than 3% of the vote, would emerge as a dangerous new political force to be reckoned with in German politics.